everybody here. There are a couple of seats on this side in the front over here, just greeters, so you're aware of that if someone comes in and they need a seat. Something about that spot, I don't know what it is, but nobody likes the Reichards, I guess, huh? It's all right. We like you. We like you. Well, getting excited as we worship together. Let's stand and sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," as we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in our calendar year with the birth at Christmas, but also as we look forward to when he returns. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Gospel Life Church. Well, we did get a couple of good mornings there. If you're visiting here with us this morning, there's a little blue card in the pew in front of you, if you wouldn't mind filling that out, and you could put it in the offering box, which is in the back by the sound booth there, just so we can connect with you. Glad that you're here with us this morning. Few things in terms of announcements. So the Christmas services. So we have our Christmas Eve service on Saturday at 6 p.m. Just a reminder around that, there's no child care for that service. So feel free to bring the kids. There's a part of the service that's geared specifically for the kids, but just a time of song and of some reading and reflection of the Christmas season. This Christmas morning, so we will still have a prayer meeting on Christmas morning at 10 a.m., but then just the service at 11 a.m., and we'll have a little more limited child care for that. So, again, encourage you to have your family. If your kids are able to be part of the service, bring them with you. If not, we'll have a few of us downstairs to be able to supervise them and get worn out by them further on Christmas morning. But the Christmas service is, again, a great opportunity to be inviting some unsaved family or friends, just opportunity to bring somebody out for those services. To help you a little bit with that, we do have some extra Christmas cookies over in the Hershey building. Sergey's going to be up here in a little bit to be able to share just from the with the prison ministry and all the cookies that were made there, but ended up between us and some other people from a couple other churches, we had 4,000 Christmas cookies, and 3,000 of them got taken up to the prison and mostly consumed, but that means we still have a lot over in the Hershey building. So stop over, make up a plate for yourself. Make up a plate to invite somebody to a Christmas service, and there's some little cards over there as well you can take that just have the Christmas service information. Also, as we before you know it, it'll be January, and Gospel Life Night will be starting back up. So January 4th is the first Wednesday, so the combined session. That's at 6:30. We'll do the dinner as well at 5:45, and that will be a potluck for this time. So last names A through M, bring a main dish, and or A through N, bring a main dish, and M through Z, bring a side dish and dessert. So make sure you sign up for that in the newsletter or on the website. The church surveys. So today's the due date. So there's probably about 50 of you maybe that haven't done that yet. A lot of you have, but I still need some more of those. For everybody, if you're part of the church here, please fill that out. It's in the newsletter. And just an opportunity for us to see who's going to be involved with what in 2023. And there are a few paper copies as well underneath the grounded sign in the back if you would like to do a paper copy. Shepherding forums. So again, January starts, we're going to start off the year. It'll be busy again. And we have those for our members to meet with your elder. So twice a year we do that. So the first one is January 8th, and that's at 9:30. We'll do a light breakfast again for that. So please make sure you come out for that. You should have gotten or will be getting an email from your elder. Some of you, we did some reassignments of some people with Dan Freeman now being an elder. So you might have gotten shuffled. Most of you probably stayed with your assigned elder. Okay, last announcement here is the children's ministry training. So again, if you're going to be part of children's ministry for 2023, we have a specific training that we'd like to have you out for. There's two dates for that. So you can come, it's the same session. You can come either on the 22nd of January or the 2nd of February. We'll do lunch at each one of those, and we'll have childcare available for that. So that also means I need a few people to help with childcare on one of those sessions so you can attend one and help serve at another one. So sign up for that online so I know who's coming to which one. And then we can sign up with your kids as well if you're bringing your kids so we know what to expect from a childcare standpoint. All right. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. So we as a church go through the book of Philippians, right, during the gospel life night, right? And in chapter 1, in verses 3 to 5, Paul says that he thanks God for the Philippians, and he prays with joy for them because of their partnership in the gospel. Now, if you think about it, how did they partner in the gospel? They didn't go with Paul. They weren't on front lines. They weren't in jail with Paul. They were not sharing the gospel alongside of Paul, yet Paul calls them partners in the gospel. And the point that Paul is making further in the whole book, he's saying, you helped to spread the gospel by providing for me, by sending Epaphroditus, by helping me from the back. In other words, every work that is happening is contributing to Paul spreading the gospel. And by God's grace, by God's providence, our church had a chance to experience that among many other opportunities, but specifically this Thursday, the same thing. So many people had an opportunity to contribute to the spread of the gospel in the local jail that we went on Friday. And if you think about what happened on Friday, in the matter of about 2 hours, we were able to reach nearly 200 people. Was the gospel. It was pure gospel presentation that we focused on. Those were not simply Bible studies, but we were reaching to the unbelievers, and it wouldn't have been possible if you wouldn't have contributed. Now, your voice might not have been there in jail, but so many cookies, people donated bottles of soda, drinks, and cardboard boxes to pack the cookies, bins to package everything. Many people contributed, many people. There were people who were praying. One gentleman said he was praying for us several hours a day so that this event would be successful from a perspective of being able to execute it without any obstacles. And indeed, so many doors were opened. If you think about in terms of the effort that it takes, Keith mentioned, we needed about 3,000 cookies. Majority of them, just about maybe 2 dozen that were not eaten. Everything else was eaten. And we drank about 20 gallons of soda. So this is like 5 big buckets of soda, if you think about it, right? And but at the same time, there were about, I think, what, about 10 messages preached. So it wasn't just one message. It was 10 messages preached in the groups of about between 30 to 40 people, some maybe 20 people. There were so many interesting conversations. In one pod, I was talking, Jerry was in that pod. The guys were saying as they were leaving, people didn't want to let them leave. They were just questioning them, question after question. Apparently, somebody even wanted to ask a question, how do I start my life with Christ? In our pod where Dave and I were, a gentleman approached us and he said, I see myself in the story that you guys were telling us. I relate to that story. Now, it's good that he relates, and I mentioned to him, I said, it's good that you see yourself, but be mindful. This is not just a story. This is your eternity that's at stake. And he kept on, yeah, I think I'm there. I think and I keep saying, well, be careful. Don't just go on emotions. This is your eternity. This is your life here now and until you die, and then eternity. There were a lot of things. Because Dave and I covered one pod together. Other groups were a different pod. As we were leaving, dragging all the things that we needed to clean from that, they were just yelling at us, thank you, thank you, thank you. The people who usually don't come to Bible studies on a weekly basis, they were just yelling and just saying appreciation. Those thanks were to all of you because, again, without your help, it wouldn't be possible. So many people rallied together to make it possible. And another interesting thing to see in all of this, that there were 6 people from our church. I think it was 6. Ladies went covered the women's pod, and then 4 men. But there were other people from other churches, from the area. We partnered together to make it happen, right? And like I know personally that I'm on a different page doctrinally with some of them, but when it comes to the progress of the gospel, we overlooked those doctrinal differences. They're conservative churches. They're the churches who love the Lord as we do. Just minor doctrinal issues that can be overlooked for the progress of the gospel. And that's what happened. We partnered with several churches. I think there were 3 or 4 churches in the area that we got together, Butler Church in Zeeley, and I think there were 2 in Butler. And we just worked together, get it done. And again, the outcome is that by your help, by the effort of many, many people, hundreds of people, heard the gospel in a matter of 2 hours. There were some interesting things. As Dave and I came in, everyone sees that we are bringing drinks. They don't see what's in the boxes because we packaged the cookies in the boxes. But many people flocked into this big room. Think of it as a mini gym class where they play basketball. But there were a group of people that didn't come in. Well, those were Muslims, right? They understood that because we yelled, hey, this is the Christmas celebration. And so they didn't come in, but in the break, we had a break in between the messages. I noticed that some of them did come in. They did grab cookies, and I think some of them even stayed. Now, in another pod where my buddy Mike was, I think he was with Vaughn, Mike was saying that they asked him, hey, do you guys bring the Quran? And Mike says, hey, we are from a different department. We bring the Word of God. So there were, why I'm bringing it up is that jail is becoming woke as well, right? They are putting restrictions even on our Bible studies. because some Muslims kind of complain that, hey, why are you guys, you know, we're supposed to be all-inclusive. And, and so the jail accommodated their requests. In the past, we were allowed to do these messages right in the big hall. Think of, you've seen the movies, how the jail is organized. You have multiple layers of cells, right? And in the middle, there is like this big fellowship hall. That's where we used to be able to do those messages, and everyone heard them. Now, because of the Muslims' complaints, they said, no, you cannot do this now. Just and they give us a different room for that. But there are ways we are making inroads, even into the Muslim world. And so, again, by your help, this is happening. And so I want to thank you. And in conclusion, I want to make a comment. One gentleman came to us at the end, and he said, when you guys came in, you told us that you are celebrating Christmas, you bring all these drinks and these cookies because there is somebody out there, outside, besides our families, who cares. And he says, when you said that, that locked me in, and I stayed throughout the whole time because you said there is somebody out there who cares. And that's the guy who stayed all the way along with others. And again, it's because of your help. So we should view it as we together worked together for the gospel, the spread of the gospel. So thank you.
The last candle of Advent focuses our attention on peace. Peace. At the end of every Thanksgiving, this five-letter word starts to pop up everywhere we look, on our walls, on our trees, and on our cards. The term has become a staple of the Christmas season, and I think for reasons much more profound than how beautiful it appears in calligraphic form. Each new Christmas brings with it a renewed longing for peace, world peace. We have become hopeful once again, convincing ourselves that the coming year will be different. The struggles, the fighting, the hatred, all of it, is relegated to a thing of the past. This year will be different. We are better people now. We have learned from our mistakes. It will be different. Then next Christmas rolls around, and once again we hear John Lennon's "War Is Over" on the airwaves, being reminded that peace has slipped through our fingertips once again. When the angels startled the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, they announced peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased, was their message. Peace, the very longing of our hearts, with the birth of this king, peace was now possible. But it was selective. Peace would be among those with whom he is pleased. This was a promise for those who would come to trust in what this child would accomplish. He would accomplish salvation, and that salvation brings the ultimate peace, a peace with God. Though we may never in our earthly lives witness the peace that our globe longs for, we can have the peace that really matters, peace with God. This was all made possible because Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us.
We're going to continue singing "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." All together on the first.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Comfort and joy.
This holy child of Christ must shall fill our hearts with grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Let's stand together and sing another one in the kind of the same type of minor tone, but it's a great one. What child is this?
What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
Verse 2.
My life's
singing. Let's stay standing as we read the Word of God this morning. Take your Bibles, open up to Micah chapter 5.
I think that's wrong on there. I think I just checked one of the Pew Bibles. I think it's page 730. I could be totally off there. I don't know. If you're using a Pew Bible, check 803 and then 730 and let me know. but yeah, please turn with me to Micah chapter 5. Verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem, Epaphrath, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when he, or when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these words that you spoke through your prophet Micah, Lord. We thank you for the truth of these words and the fulfillment of these words in sending Christ to come to earth, Lord, to bear our sins, to die on the cross, and to raise again, Lord. Christmas is the implications of that, Lord, is so much more that you came to earth, Lord, but that Christ came and lived the perfect life and died and rose again, Lord. And in that we celebrate and look eagerly to his coming again, Father. So we pray that, Lord, if anybody who's here does not know the glory of Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes and soften their hearts to be receptive to your word in the gospel. We thank you again for this season, Lord, and with all the busyness, we pray that you would help us to find extra time to quiet our hearts and focus on Christ and just find peace in him as this verse in this passage says he is, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Light keepers are dismissed.
As they make their way there, a last song together before the message this morning is Jesus Strong and Kind. Well, thank you for coming this morning, and we're glad you're here. The kids will be up to sing at the end. They're going to go practice a little bit more, to, you know, just to tweak it just right so that they'll be able to be up here. But let's have a word of prayer. I just want to spend a few minutes just sharing with you a little bit from the Bible and what it talks about when it talks about the Christmas story and what took place there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all who are here. Thank you that we could sing together and contemplate who Jesus is. And Lord, as we look at your word, I would ask that you would be honored and glorified and praised, and that it would just be a chance for us to reflect on the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and a challenge to our own heart. Where are we with him? And so I pray, Lord, that it would be just a beneficial time briefly this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I know you are looking forward to the kids singing. I got a couple of kids involved in that, so I'm looking forward to it as well. And I'm probably wishing that I didn't have to say anything so they could just get up here. But they'll be up here. They'll be up here soon enough. And it does give them a chance to just go over a couple of things. But there is something I do want to share with you this morning. As we have Christmas on our minds, and you know, now it looks like we might even have a white Christmas. For some of you, this might be the only time when you ever think about Jesus. Maybe when you're putting him up in the nativity scene that you have at your home. But even then, our culture, for the most part, is doesn't really want to talk about Jesus even at Christmas. You know, if you know any of the local radio stations, a couple of them start Christmas music like way too early. But if you listen to the, 94.5 or something that starts it so early, you'll notice that there's very little Christmas hymns anymore that's played in the Christmas music. Because we don't want to really think about Jesus. We don't want to talk about Jesus. But for Christmas, for us as Christians, this is a time when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the story of Jesus' birth is given to us specifically in two Gospels, in particular in the Bible, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Book of Matthew is what we're going to look at today, but the one in Luke is probably the one that most people are at least somewhat familiar with, especially the account when it starts in Luke chapter 2, because that's the one that you hear at the Charlie Brown Christmas and Linus speaking. But unfortunately, there's so much more about the Christmas story than what Linus gives us every year on, you know, Channel 5 or Apple TV. There's just so much more to the Christmas story, even in Luke. In Luke chapter 1 and what comes later in Luke chapter 2. But today I want to look just briefly, and it will be brief, I promise you, at what Matthew has to share about the account of Jesus' birth. It's not so much the Christmas day that Matthew focuses on, but really what took place after that. And Matthew is the version where you hear about the angel visiting Joseph and telling him to give him the name Jesus, so that he can save his people from their sins. Matthew is the one where you have the Magi who visit and offer up the gold and frankincense and myrrh, and that Jesus was brought to Egypt by his parents to save his life. And there's a lot to talk about in Matthew's account, because his main point, what he's trying to do, is to convince you and to convince me that Jesus was actually the Messiah. He was actually the promised king of the Old Testament, who would come and save his people. But I'm not going to focus so much on that today, his main point, but I want you to look with me at the various ways that people responded to the coming of Jesus. There's actually three different responses in the book of Matthew to Jesus' coming. And what I've found, actually, is that most people today respond to Jesus in a very similar way to how he was responded to. So to do that, would you take your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And I want to read verses 1 through 12 in Matthew 2. If you didn't bring a Bible, that we provide Bibles for you. Apparently we get the page numbers wrong at different times. I am pretty sure this one's right. Matthew chapter 2 is found on page 757. And I want to read the first 12 verses, because you're going to find all three responses to Jesus in these first 12 verses. And if you've never read through Matthew, you've probably heard these verses at some point in your life. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you've found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king in verse 9, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. It's three responses, three different groups of people to Jesus that you're going to see in this passage. The first one, the main one that you're probably thinking of, is the Magi. We're going to talk about them. But then you also have the scribes and the priests who look at the scriptures and tell them the passage that we read this morning. Here's where you're going to find them. And then the other one is Herod, King Herod, who tells them, "Hey, why don't you go tell me where he is so I can come and worship him?" And of course, that's not the story, because if you look a couple of verses later, his intention was to kill him. But those three responses are actually responses that we have today. The first one I want to look at is the Magi. They have the response of what I call worshipful. They are the worshipful. They're the ones who come to worship Jesus. Verses 1 and 2. They came from the east to Jerusalem. They saw his star. And notice in verse 2, they say, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." So sometime after Jesus was born, the star rose. Those that have been here at my church for a while, I always tell you, what, take your major scene, take the kings and put them in the other room, because they're not there yet when Jesus is born. They're making their way in. Maybe a year or two you can get them in there, okay? But they're not there yet. And they come looking for this child who has been born, and they saw the star and they make their way in. Usually they're called kings by our tradition, but we don't know whether or not they were kings. We do know that Magi were men who studied the stars. And in that day and age, you didn't have modern lighting, so the stars were a little bit more obvious and easier to see. And they studied these stars, and they noticed a specific star. And that's what prompted everything. We don't know how many there were. Again, tradition, three gifts, three Magi, but there could have been more, there could have been less. But the point is verse 2, why they came. They come to see the king, and then verse 2, notice the end of it. "And we have come to worship him." They came to see Jesus because they wanted to worship him. That word for worship means to bow down before him, to give him homage. We don't know how they knew about this other than the star. We don't know how they knew the significance of this, but they knew exactly who Jesus was. They came looking for the king, and they even say that. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They understood that he was king. They understood he was royalty, despite the fact he was born in such humble circumstances. They understood that this Jesus was the son of David, a true king. We're all familiar with Handel's Messiah, which we hear this time of year. And I said, we're not singing it as a congregation. You know, you got two or three of you that take it a little too far. But we know that. We know that chorus. "For unto us a child is born," Isaiah chapter 9, speaking of Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there'll be no end. Of the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. They understood that that was true of this baby. He truly is the king. And so they want to worship him. Look down at verse 9. And that's exactly what they do. They listen to the king in verse 9. They found out where the star had rested. They were exceedingly joyful at that. And in verse 11, notice what they do. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. They showed homage to him. Their response to Jesus, when they understood who he was worship. They give gifts. We often read a lot into these gifts. All I know is that this is what they gave. But they understood who he was, so they worshiped. If you understand truly who Jesus is, that would be your response. To worship Jesus, to bow before him. Now, these magi had done this before even Jesus lived the rest of his life. And we know the rest of the story. Even if you're not familiar too much with the Bible, you know that in a couple of months, the world is going to celebrate Easter, right? When we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus came with the mission when he came as a baby. He came with the mission to die on a cross and rise again to new life. It actually tells us in John chapter 3, as Jesus speaks of his mission, he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's Jesus. I must be lifted up. And you can picture that with a cross, right? Being lifted up on a cross. Why? That whoever believes in him, in Jesus, in the Son of Man, may have eternal life. As Christ is lifted up and dies, as the rest of Matthew is going to tell us, those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him will not perish but have eternal life in him. Which means that Christ's death is the only sufficient payment for sin. His death took place because of the guilt and the shame that all of our sins bring. And as they look to Christ in belief, they can have eternal life. If you truly understand who Jesus is, then worship will be your response, because you recognize what he came to do. And you'll put your faith and trust in him. Would you be among the magi, worshiping Jesus? I hope and pray that's you. Listen, I'm a pastor. This is the stuff I do. I talk about these things. So if you ever want to talk about it, grab me at the end of the service. I'll be playing the last song, but then I'll rush to the back, because I want to see you too and wish you a happy Christmas. But if you have any questions about that, talk to me. We have prayer partners that sit in the back. At the end of the service, they have a big sign. Can't miss it. Prayer partner. It's not their name. It's what they're doing. And you can meet with them and talk with them and pray with them. That's the only response that you probably want to focus on, but there's actually two more, and both of those are pretty negative. Look at the other two. You have first the worshipful with the magi, but then you have in verses 5 and 6, what I like to call the indifferent. The indifferent. Where are we going to find this king? And so Herod summons together in verse 4 the chief priests and scribes. I mean, these are the people who know the Bible. They'll know exactly where the Messiah is supposed to be born. And sure enough, they do, don't they? You see that in verses 5 and 6. They say in Bethlehem of Judea. They got it right on the money. They quote from the scriptures, Micah chapter 5, and their response. They knew exactly where the Messiah was to be born. And here's what's scary is, they really knew their stuff. They really knew the Bible. They knew their theology. They were experts in the Bible. You know, I would probably, before I had ever read the New Testament, would not have gone to Micah 5. But they knew exactly where to go. But they had no desire to go with these wise men. They had no desire to worship this king. They were indifferent. They had the right answers, but no worship. Listen, just because you know the Christmas story, or even, I know some of you know deep theology, does not mean you know the Savior. And you might be indifferent in a different way than them. Some of you might just be indifferent. You don't really know much about the Bible, maybe a little. But you just don't really care if we're honest anyways. You're indifferent to the little you've heard. For the indifferent, there's some knowledge of Jesus, but no love for Jesus. There might even be right thinking about who Jesus is, but no desire to serve Jesus. No worship. It's amazing to me as a pastor, there's a couple of powers I have. One of the powers I have is quiet a room. Come in, oh, he's a pastor, boop, conversation stops. But one of the nice things about being a pastor is people are willing to talk to me sometimes about spiritual things and show me how much they know about the Bible. That's kind of a thing, too. And it's amazing to me, though, how many people that I've met who essentially can tell me the whole story of who Jesus is, what he did, even the point of what he did, and they really could care less about it all. They're really indifferent. They do the Christmas and Easter thing at church, but it has very little effect. They never embrace Christ or believe the gospel. It's kind of like what Isaiah said of the Israelites in the Old Testament, Isaiah 29. This people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The indifferent are just cultural Christians, I call them. Believe in God, speak of Jesus Christ, but don't worship Jesus in their hearts. And for all intents and purposes, live like everybody else in the world. Listen, if Christ does not affect your life, if you're not responding in worship, then you're really kind of indifferent to the Christmas story. And not a true Christian. Let me plead with you to come and seek Christ to worship him. Then the third. And that's what you see in verse 7. You see a little bit of him in verse 3. Notice verse 3, it's Herod. This is the hostile. Herod's the hostile. You have those that worship the Magi. You had those that were indifferent, the Jewish scribes. But then you had the hostile, and that's Herod. Herod heard this, was troubled, verse 3. Notice that. That's his response is pretty troubling. Jesus causes trouble to him. Because think about it. Think of the irony here. And that word trouble, by the way, means like it was really disturbing to him. It was even frightful. If you look at verse 3, we'll tell you why in a second. All Jerusalem with him. Why is all Jerusalem frightful? You'll learn when you learn what Herod was like. Herod was disturbed. He was troubled. Because it's ironic here, right? Here come these magi to the king, because that's who Herod was. He was the king. Saying, where's the king? You're looking at him. No, the real king. The real king of the Jews. They come asking him, and that bothers Herod in verse number 3. He is troubled. Where is the real king? And it makes sense if you kind of understand a little bit. I'll give you a little history lesson to the New Testament to understand this. Herod was appointed as king in this area by the Romans. They considered Herod Jewish, but the Jewish people didn't think of him as Jewish at all because he was an Edomite, okay, which means he wasn't fully Jewish to them. So the Romans put him in power, but the rest of Jerusalem didn't really accept him, you could say, as a king. Actually, Josephus, some of you have heard of Josephus. When he was talking about that time, he reflects what the Jewish people, the sentiment that they had, and that's basically that his throne was a joke. He didn't belong there. He's not the right king. And here comes these wise men asking for a king, and even Herod knew that he was not fully a Jew like everyone else, and so he's probably thinking there's probably a king that's truly Jewish here, and it's a threat to his throne. All Jerusalem, verse 3, well, they're a little bit troubled as well because Herod feels threatened, and Herod responds to remove that threat. You look down at verse number 13. Here's how he responds. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord, that's the Magi, departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod's about to search for the child to destroy him. In verse 14, Joseph responds, takes the child and his mother, and they depart to Egypt and remain there until the death of Herod. And so verse 16, Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. So he said, when did that star appear? And he learned, and he figured he's got to be close to two and under. So all male children in this area I'm going to kill, because it's a threat to me as king. He was a ruthless politician. From the best historical guess we can make at that time, that's between 20 and 50 children were killed, because he didn't want a king. When he had come to the throne, he had this reputation. He killed his predecessor. And then when he became on the throne, he killed his predecessor's family, which also included his mother-in-law, which also included his brother-in-law, and it actually even his favorite wife. He got them all killed because he wanted his power. They were all a threat. At the end of his life, he feared that his sons would take his life, because that's kind of what he did. So he had his sons killed, so that they wouldn't come to take his throne. One New Testament scholar says of this that the cruelty of Herod became proverbial even in Rome. That's how cruel he was. So verse 3, why do you think all Jerusalem was troubled? Who's this guy going to go after? But Herod's reaction is not very surprising, is it, if you understand who he is? He was threatened by Jesus. And so he did everything he could to remove him from him. He'd not be subject to Jesus. He was not going to lose his autonomy and submit his throne to give the space for another king. And this is the third response that some of you in this room might have. I don't think you're going to start killing people, but you may respond to Jesus in a hostile way, because Jesus is a threat. He's a threat to your life you want to live. You might be here because you should be here. You're guilted by family. Come on, we're all here to see the kids too. I get that, right? But if you become a Christian, your life may have to change. And the things that you think you love are not actually pleasing to him. And so your response is like Herod. You want to shut Jesus out. The scriptures are full of people who responded very similar to Herod. Though they didn't kill people, they tried to shut Jesus out, because Jesus made it clear, if we're to follow him, we take up our cross and follow him. It's a lifelong commitment, trusting in his goodness and grace to save us. But maybe for you, like Herod, he was a threat. Threat to how you live. That's you. Let me encourage you to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn from a Herod to a wise man, to turn from a Jewish scholar to a wise man, from the indifferent and the hostile to the worshipful. Now, what would you say today? What's your response to Jesus? I pray it's like the wise men. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the brief message this morning and the reminder of how you've called us to respond. Lord, I pray if there's in our midst those that have rejected and pushed away the Lord Jesus Christ like Herod, that they would be convicted and turn to you. Those that are indifferent would wake up to the reality of the world we live in, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of children who are going to come and speak. May they be a blessing. Thank you so much for them. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for coming today to join us in celebrating the birth of our Savior.
We're here today to tell you a story about a baby who was foretold of in prophecy, sung about by angels, and worshipped by shepherds and wise men.
Just like those wise men and shepherds were worshipped that baby so long ago, we are here to worship him too. And just like those angels sang in praise, so will we.
Became a man, a baby in a manger. His mother Mary knew the word of God was true. The child is Christ our Savior.
This time of year brings so much joy. Joy in remembering a baby that's born, and joy in rejoicing in the hope of a future reigning king.
Not only a king, but the King of Kings, bringing hope, peace, and joy to all who believe in him.
Thank you. Thanks, kids. We're
going to keep you up here. We're all going to stand and close the service singing together, Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to do the first, the third, and the fourth verses. All together.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis.
Merry Christmas from Gospel Life Church. Have a great week.